Good morning.
Welcome. How are we doing?
Good.
Somebody want to testify or what? How are we really doing? Don't put on your Christian face. We're human. Life is hard. The world's messed up. I don't know how they do without Jesus. But I got Jesus. Have you got Jesus?
Amen. Amen.
It's the only difference. Amen. All the difference.
Yes, amen.
Let's turn to our Bibles in Psalm 90. I'm going to read Psalm 90. Psalm of Moses, the only Psalm of Moses in the Bible. Moses. My heading says, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Yep. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you gave birth to the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn man back into dust and say, return, O children of men, for 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it passes by, or as a watch in the night. You have swept them away like a flood. They fall asleep. In the morning they are like grass which sprouts anew. In the morning it flourishes and sprouts anew. Toward evening it fades and withers away. We have been consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath we have been dismayed. You have placed our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days have declined in your fury. We have finished our years like a sigh. And as for the days of our life, they contain 70 years, or if due to strength, 80 years. Yet their pride is but labor and sorrow, for soon it is gone and we fly away. Who understands the power of your anger and your fury according to the fear that is due you? So teach us to number our days, that we may present to thee a heart of wisdom. Do return, O Lord, how long will it be? And be sorry for thy servants. O satisfy us in the morning with thy loving kindness, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to your day, to the days thou hast afflicted us, and the years we have seen evil. Let thy work appear to thy servants, and thy majesty to thy children, and let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and do confirm for us the work of our hands. Yes, confirm the work of our hands. Lord, speak to us, I pray, for your glory, in Jesus' name. I read this psalm very early in the week, and I got to verse 12, and I was struck by it. It says, teach us to number our days, that we may present to thee a heart of wisdom. Number our days. Do we number our days? Do we take time to reflect on how short life is and how few days we actually have on this planet? And the psalm starts with God, who is our refuge. In every generation, he's our refuge. And it says he's created before the mountains were born. He existed, and he gave birth to the earth and the world, and he's eternal from everlasting to everlasting. God is eternal. Yeah. He's always been. There's never been a time when he was not. Right. And yet, Moses, who met this God in all his glory on Mount Sinai,
right,
who saw his majesty and his glory and his splendor, and saw him move and saw him lead a people through the desert and saw his fury and his wrath as he got rid of the disobedience, punished the wicked who weren't following him. He recognizes the frailty of man, or the frailty of humans, and he sees many people pass away. Actually, he left with roughly 2 million people.
Yeah.
Out of Egypt. And how many actually entered the promised land?
Yeah.
The whole generation that left with him, ages 20 and up, died off. For 40 years they wandered. And so if you do a little bit of math, he probably never saw anybody get over the age of 70 or 80 years old. Even though he himself lived to 120. And he didn't even get to enter the promised land. Because of mistake. And I read that, teach us to number our days. Teach us to know how short life is and how little time we have on this planet to make it count for him.
Right.
And where did this come from? I'm sitting there thinking, you know, I said in my devotion, I got in this bike accident. I don't like to be laid up. I can't stand it to have a physical disability that will slow me down. It drives me crazy. And I come to this verse, and I thought, I was really stupid to do something like that, where I can't even be doing what God has asked me to do other than to pray and read the Word. That's all I can do, which I guess is pretty good. But ultimately, because of a stupid decision, I've taken a whole bunch of days off of my life where I can't do what God would have me do. And I thought, life is so frail. We are so frail as human beings, right? Mm-hmm. Something comes into our life, you know, a sickness, an illness, a problem, a physical defect. And because we are just weak creatures who are decaying on planet Earth, from the moment we come into Earth, there's a death sentence on our life. And I feel like I've preached this sermon before. But we are very frail people who are totally dependent on God.
That's right.
And God alone is eternal, and we are but like grass. The grass. Mm-hmm. The comes up in the morning, and by noon, the hot day sun is scorched. That's the image they're using. That it's gone, just poof, gone in a moment. And I was convicted that every single moment of my life, I need to be using it for God's glory. I need to be using it for Him. And He grants me this. And every decision I make needs to be a wise decision that will allow Him to use me for His glory. And I can't be making stupid decisions that give the enemy a foothold in my life. Right? And I think about this in a moment of pride. I'm just going to be really vulnerable here, trying to keep up to this 12-year-old I'm biking with. I'm just going to do this jump. Just going to do this jump. Right? I'm going to show everybody that this 60-year-old guy still has it, right? And I take this jump, and I fly over the jump, and I want to get high, higher than anybody else. I did the jump great. The landing was really bad. And there I am, on the ground, unable to move, laying on the pavement and holding my chest, and I can't breathe. Thankfully, somebody came over and helped me, talked me through, helped me get my breath, slow me down, and finally got me up on my feet. And I didn't bike after that. I actually just took the bike to the truck and we drove home. I haven't been on a bike since, because I can't. But I thought, what a foolish moment of pride and stupidity to think that at that age I could do something that I used to do at 16, where the fall wouldn't really hurt anymore. I could still get up from a fall at 16 and get back on and keep going. I'm not 16 anymore. It's a very hard pill to swallow. But, you know, as you age and you mature and you realize, okay, life is frail. I've watched a lot of people leave this planet. I've watched a lot of people get sick and a lot of people, you know, just be laid up and experience all kinds of difficulty as they age. And I should know better. So when it says, teach me to number my days, I need to realize every single day of my life is a gift from God to be used for His glory. That tomorrow, as Jesus said, it may not come. I don't know if tomorrow is coming or not. But I have today to live for Jesus. That's it. And now that I'm kind of laid up, you know, I need to work really hard to be who Jesus wants me to be. And part of that was to go out into the public while I'm working and meet people and talk to people, which I love to do, but I can't do that right now. So I have not used my days wisely for His glory, and now I'm just kind of benched till I heal. You know what I'm saying? It's really hard because I have a passion to tell people about Jesus. I have a passion to be His representative on planet Earth, and I've kind of taken myself out of the game for the moment. And I'm just believing that he's going to heal me quickly so I can do this and get back in the game. My wife is like, please don't do it too fast.
No, it may take longer than 2 days is what Ruth, your wife, is thinking.
I know. God uses her to keep me being healed.
Sure does.
Anyway, I see verse 9. It says, all our days have declined in thy fury. We have finished our years like a sigh. As for the days of our life, they are 70 or maybe 80. And their pride, the best of them, is just labor and sorrow. And soon it is gone and we fly away. And really, that's all we have. 70, 80 years on planet Earth. Maybe we get a little more, but not too much more. The average age for a male is, what, 82? For a woman, it's 85. We don't get much more time than that. Some of you are really close. And you should be listening, because you got to make the most of what you got left. We just don't know what's coming. We just don't know what's coming, right? And are we making the most of the time? As Paul says, are we making the most of every opportunity? Are we living for the glory of Christ? And so we have this clause, all our days, all our days, all our days. What have we done with all our days? And I'm thinking back to Moses and his life and how God called him. And he, you know the story, how God called him. He was ruling in Egypt, and then he saw some Hebrews being abused, so he stepped in and killed the Egyptian. And when they found out that he killed an Egyptian, he had to flee, and he spent 40 years in the desert. And God was preparing him, like with his Jethro, his father-in-law, found a wife, and he was sheep herding. And for 40 years, he had to deal with this sin that he had done. He had killed somebody in his anger. And finally, after 40 years of purging and maybe getting him ready, God showed up in his life and called him to ministry. And even after the calling, which he reluctantly said yes to, didn't want to do it, but he said yes, he still had a lot of issues. You know, this anger thing still came up all the time. You know, when he came down from the mountain after getting the Ten Commandments and he saw the people had built a golden calf, he smashes the Ten Commandments. Okay? And again, when they're crying and wailing and wanting water and wanting food and you just can't take it anymore, I'll give you water. And God says, you know, speak to the rock and water will come out. And in his anger, he strikes the rock. And because of that, he doesn't get to go to the promised land. And we have these little moments in our life when our emotions get the best of us and we kind of short circuit what God wants to do in our lives. And we have these momentary crazy things that happen, like we go on a jump and get injured, right? And we take ourselves out of the game, and the consequences are there. And he's witnessed, you know, it talks a lot about judgment in this passage, and he witnessed the Israelites disobeying God and complaining and grumbling, and God would get frustrated with them and open up the ground and swallow a whole bunch of them, or he would just zap some and they'd be gone. And in his life, he watched the frailty of life and how short it is. In a moment it's gone like that, your life is gone. And everyone sitting in this room is experiencing that.
Yeah.
Right? We all experience as we age, because there's not a lot of young people in this room. We're all experiencing aches and pains and realizing, you know, as we get closer or maybe bury our parents or watch them go through their difficulties, right, that we're headed there too.
Right.
Hopefully not. I mean, we can claim all the scriptures, you know, and say, I'm going to make it, you know, without pain till the end. But listen, there's no pain in heaven. It's about the only time you're going to get no pain. Okay? In this world, you will have trouble. There'll be pain. There'll be suffering. Yeah. That's living in the world.
Right.
Okay, you can claim whatever you want, but it's not true. If you have a life where you don't experience any pain and any sorrow and any heartache, God bless you. Let me know how you do it. That's not reality. And so Moses, who has earned the right to say this, God, I've seen it all. I've seen it all. I've seen what you expect of people. I've seen what you expect of me. I've seen how you want us to live your life. And right at the outset, you are our refuge. You're our dwelling place. In every generation, Lord, it's about you. It's about abiding in you and resting with you. It's about living my life in relationship with Jesus. That's what he says, basically. It's about me dwelling with you and you dwelling in me. That's what life is about. How are we doing at that? How are we doing at that? How much of our days do we really sit down and say, God, today I'm living for you? What Paul says is do everything in word and deed. Do everything you do should be for the glory of God. Everything you do, from the moment you wake up in the morning to the moment you put your head on the pillow, it should all be for God's glory. And so as we age, as I age, I start to realize how many things in my life do I do for me and not for him? How much of what I don't even think of, you know, the consequences, or I don't even think of, does this bring him glory? Will this further the kingdom of God? Seek first the kingdom of God. Do I live like that? Do I live every moment of my life seeking first the kingdom of God? Knowing that tomorrow may never come for me. Right? That today I have to live for Jesus Christ and be his representative. And so his prayer is, after, you know, stating how short life is and how majestic and eternal God is, teach us to number our days. And so there's a cry there, God, teach me. Teach me what it means to number my days. Teach me what it means to be accountable to you with my life. To realize that every single day of my life is a gift and I need to use it for your glory. Teach me, Lord, because I can't seem to figure it out on my own. You know, I know someone who's been diagnosed with an illness, and you've heard this. They have a bucket list, and they're going to go through their bucket list. Not one thing on that bucket list has anything to do with God, has everything to do with them. I want to accomplish this. I want to accomplish that. Friends, I don't want to live like that. If I get one shot to live for Jesus, I want everything on my bucket list to be, how does it bring glory to Jesus? How does it, you know, I'm sitting there like at 3 a.m. thinking, what's on my bucket list? The first thing that comes to my mind, I want to go into a synagogue, stand up when they open the floor, and declare Isaiah 53.
Yeah.
That's what I want to do. That's on my bucket list. I want to tell Jewish people that their Messiah has come.
Yes.
And I know him really well. You know the second thing on my bucket list? This has been a long time dream of mine. I want to go into an old dead church. Like, you know, where they just kind of do the same thing every week, and they do the three songs, and they open the hymnal. And today, we're going to sing 373, verses 1 and 4. A mighty fortress is our God. And everybody's stone cold face. Cold, just. I just want to go in there in the power of the Spirit and just release the Spirit of God, and they go, wow! And they wake up to the reality that Jesus is alive. That's number two on my bucket list. Because God gave me that vision, one day I'm going to do that. Because I don't think as Christians we should be stone cold. We should be on fire for Jesus. Because we got one life to live, and how are we going to live it? And we don't know how many days in that life we got. And so when I read this, I'm saying, Lord, teach me to value every single day you've given me. Teach me the number. I don't need to know the number of my days. I just need to know that my life is short and I need to live it for you. That's what it means to number my days. My days are short. Every day is a gift from you to be lived for you. Here's what Psalm 39:2 says. Just quickly. This is David. A lot of guys thought like this. Like the men of God in the Bible, they thought like this. This is David saying, Psalm 39:2. I was dumb and silent. I refrained even from good, and my sorrow grew worse. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue. Lord, make me to know my end, and what is the extent of my days. Let me know how transient I am. Behold, you have made my days as a handbreadth, and my lifetime is nothing in your sight. Surely every man at his best is a mere breath. Surely every man walks about as a phantom. Surely they make an uproar for nothing. He amasses riches and does not know who will gather them. God, let me not be just about gaining wealth. and accumulating things. I don't want my life to be like that. I want it to be said of me at the end, he lived for Jesus, he preached the gospel, he expanded the kingdom. That I don't know about you, but that's why I want to live. That's what I want to be known for. You know, Jesus tells a story in Luke 12 about a rich man who had a really good year. He really prospered, and he had all this great resources come in. The crops were just busting, and he had an incredible harvest come in. And what does he say? Well, my barns aren't big enough. I'm going to tear them down. I'm going to build bigger barns so I can store all that stuff that I have. And you know what Jesus says? You can look it up in Luke 12:20. You fool. You fool. Don't you know tonight your life is over? And you're wasting all your time accumulating and just building for yourself. And I think to myself, I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be building earthly things. I don't want to invest my time and money where moth and rust destroy. Right? I want to be sowing into the kingdom of God and putting it forward so that Jesus gets the glory. And judgment is a really big theme in this text. And you know, a lot of Christians, they don't believe Christians are going to be judged. There's going to be a judgment seat of Christ. There's going to be. 2 Corinthians 5, you can read about it. All through the New Testament, they talk about us standing before Jesus one day. We're not going to be judged like the world. But we're going to be judged for how we use our time. And is our stuff precious gold, silver, or is it just wood, hay, stubble? Is it all going to burn up? And I don't want my life to just go, phew. I want it to count for something. And I'm realizing as I age, I don't have a lot of time left. I'm in the last quarter of my life. If I even get that, right? Because tomorrow I could be done. Teach us to number our days, that we may present to thee a heart of wisdom. I believe, it's really interesting how this is phrased. When I have the attitude that my life belongs to God, and at any moment it can end, and I'm choosing to live for Jesus, that wisdom, that is wisdom, number one, that I live for Jesus, that my life belongs to Him, and I want Him to use it for His glory, that is a wise thing to say. And every morning you wake up, present to thee a heart of wisdom. Lord, what is wisdom? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Right.
The fear of the Lord is, I'm accountable to you. You're God, you're Lord, you're Master, and I live for you. And today, when I wake up, every single day, I want to say, today for you, I surrender all, just as we sung. I surrender all for your glory. And he goes on here, and I'm just going to read the last part of this. Do return, O Lord. How long will it be? Now I read that and I thought, Jesus is coming back.
Yeah.
We don't know when. It could be today. And I don't want to be doing something that isn't for his glory today if he shows up. And I'm living for myself. I want to be living for him when he shows up. Satisfy us in the morning with your loving kindness, with your mercy, with your love. See, every morning I want to wake up in the reality of knowing that Jesus Christ, because of his great love for me, bought me and chose me and paid for me that I might be in relationship with him. See, I want to know, just like Paul, the love of Christ that surpasses anything, that it's so high and wide and deep and long, I can't even fathom his love. And I want to meditate on that love, and I want to know that love beyond anything else. Why? So that I might sing for joy and be glad all my days. Did you see that? Like, just being satisfied by the love of Christ brings the joy and the gladness that we're all longing for. Friends, there's nothing on this planet that can satisfy you the way the love of Christ can. Nothing. Nothing can make me sing for joy like meditating on what Christ has done for me and is doing for me, that he's called me into relationship. Make us glad according to the days you have afflicted us and the years we have seen evil. You know, we can have tough times. There's tough times in life. There is sickness. There's really difficult times. You know, the loss of someone, the battle through an illness. All kinds of problems. We know that. But he's saying, make us glad in the same way that we experience these difficulties. Make us glad. Replace that with joy. And where does the joy come? By being satisfied in God. What is the chief end of man? I've said this before. To glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. That's our destination. We're going to be in heaven enjoying Him forever. If we don't have joy in Him now, how can we have joy in the future? And friends, I'm just challenging us. Do we enjoy God? Do we enjoy spending time with God? Do we enjoy waking up and say, oh Lord, today it's all about You. I find satisfaction in nothing else. Everything else is sucking my life, my money, my time. But You, Lord, I actually get from You. I get satisfied. I get awakened and alive and joy from You. That's who He is. In His presence is fullness of joy. And that's what Moses is saying. You know, I spent time in Your presence on the mountaintop. You passed before me. I saw Your glory, Lord. There was nothing like that. I want that continually. I'm so tired of people sucking my time. I'm so tired of dealing with issues and the world, you know, just zapping the life out of me and stealing and robbing my joy. I realize that in Your presence, with You, I'm completely satisfied and overjoyed. And friends, I don't know how you've been living, but man, do you want that? Mm-hmm. Do you want that? Can you realign your life so that you number your days where the joy of the Lord is your strength every day? That in Your presence, in His presence, you just experience this joie de vivre, this joy of life, this is the reason I exist. In Him I live and move and have my being. Nothing else gives me that kind of pleasure. Even in the middle of difficult times, I can experience that joy. Consider pure joy when you go through trials of many kinds. God is with you in every fire, every storm, every flood. He's there with you. And we need to really find, I need to find that, you know what, in every moment of every day, I need to see God. I need to experience Him. And verse 16, Your work appear to Your servants. I want to see You move. I want to see Your majesty to the children, to the grandchildren. I want to see You move. I want them to see You. I want them to see You move in my life so that they know that You are who You are. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us. I want to live in His grace and His favor. I want to live in that reality that, what is favor? What is grace? God, You are just incredible to know that You have chosen me and You're walking with me and You're for me and You're not against me. And in every single moment of every day, I can commune with You. I can talk to You. Holy Spirit, God, You're in me, and we can have this conversation, and You can lead me, and I can surrender to You, and I can just go through life with You. The God of the universe is living inside of me. This just blows me away. I didn't choose that. He chose me. And I want others to know that. I want the next generation to know that. And listen, he says, do confirm for us the work of our hands. When we live like that, when we live with the reality of Jesus Christ has chosen me, died for me, given me new life, new birth, a second chance at life, then every single work that I do, I want Him involved in it. And I want Him to get the glory. And one psalm, he writes one psalm. His life was not easy. He's surrounded by 2 million people who are grumbling and complaining. And he just has enough, and he makes some stupid decisions. But through it all, near the end of his life, he realized, You're the only joy I got. You're it. People drive me crazy. My family drives me crazy. Like, people are people. But I'm not focusing on people. I'm focusing on You. Because from You comes joy. From You comes gladness. And that's what I really want. I want joy and peace in Your presence. Right. And I just challenge us. As a man who lived to be 120 years old, who saw it all, the good, the bad, the ugly. He's seen the judgment of God. He knows what's waiting for those who don't walk with God. He knows the discipline of the Lord. Even in the discipline, God's mercy and grace and love are there. And he says out of his heart, God, I want every single day of my life to count for you. That's basically what he's saying. Change my heart, that it might be a heart of wisdom, that every choice I make would be for your glory. And I think that's just the prayer we all need to have. Let's just pray that prayer. Thank you, Lord. Father God, teach us to number our days. Teach us to realize that we've been put on planet Earth for one reason, to bring you glory. That we might live for you and further your kingdom. That we might exalt Christ in everything we do. That we might see you move in our lives. And that others might see you in us. And by our good deeds, they may praise our Father in heaven. Father, let us be the light that you want us to be. Let us be the reflection of you. But Lord, start with us. Show us what's important in life. Teach us not to invest in worldly things, but to invest in time with you, in things that further your kingdom. And Lord, teach us to seek first the kingdom of God. And everything that we're chasing will be added unto us. Lord, the righteousness and joy and peace that we're all craving will be added unto us. And so, Lord, just speak to each one according to our need. Lord, we don't even want to chase people. There's no satisfaction in another. There's only satisfaction. You satisfy the longing heart. Oh God, may we realize that today. And may we say with Moses, you have been our dwelling place. You are my refuge and strength. You are the place where I want to dwell, Lord. May it be so for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.